Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Our Town. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode. To watch any of our previous episodes, lnnnews.com/watch. You can hear our podcast on any of the podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, 24/6, etc. Our podcast hotline, 732-506-2600. You know they say not all heroes wear capes. Not all Rosh Hashivas wear frocks. This week's guest, Rabbi Yishai Guri, very creative and wise person. He's someone who, when he sees a problem, he tackles it. And that's how he found himself involved with the teens of our town who find themselves out of yeshiva. So he's someone who loves the outdoors and the wilderness. He goes on wild hikes with the boys, etc. So it's an exciting episode, and you'll hear how he may help you or your family, or perhaps you could volunteer and help him or the work he's doing. You'll hear about the many organizations and companies he started when he saw the need and through his creativity. So that's for that. Then you'll hear about our episode sponsor. If you're in Shidduchim or have a child in Shidduchim, then they can help you out. So you'll hear all that. And let's not waste any more time. I will catch you on the other side of the introduction.
You are listening to Our Town, an LNN podcast. Meet the people who have transformed Lakewood from a small town into our town. I am your host, Mayor Dickstein.
Today, we would like to thank Yishai Guri for coming down to the LNN studios. Yishai, welcome to our town.
Welcome. Thank you.
So, I'm very excited to talk about Yishai and all the Guri details. I practiced that in front of the mirror. How was that?
Yeah, you said the name pretty well.
Yeah. All the Guri details. Amazing. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, it's a standard joke.
Man.
Pretty much.
Okay.
But it's a good one.
Yeah. Pay for effort.
Yeah.
Don't worry. There's more to come. So tell us, where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Borough Park, small little town in New York. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. And then you learned in Eretz Yisrael.
Learned in the Mir. Learned in South Fallsburg before that. So pretty standard yeshiva experience.
Yeah.
You know, no crazy cowboy story out west Wyoming and somebody found me on a mountain somewhere. It's just like pretty much the regular.
Yeah. I find that whenever I see someone with like a cast or something, what happened? I'm like, just tell me it's a sports injury. Because then right away you're a cool guy.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was skiing, right? Not like I fell down the steps. So yeah, no cowboy stories. Okay. And then you came to BMG, I'm going to guess.
Yes.
See, most of the podcasts start off the same. And then you got married and settled in Lakewood.
Mm-hmm.
Then you bought a minivan.
Cutlass Sierra, actually.
Okay.
I thought it was a really cool car, yeah. But the wife didn't think so, yeah.
Perfect. So I know you're involved with the teens here in the town. I'm wondering how that started. What was what did you see at that time that you saw a need for some sort of structure or program?
Yeah, so really it started as an idea with sure, you mentioned, you know, Rabbi Greenspoon, Benjamin Greenspoon, and Rob Atesh, Rabbi Atesh from the French Press Coffee Roasters. Got to give a plug there, best coffee in town. They actually started, I was involved with boys, with Paratera. I was always involved with tutoring and mentoring boys. It was like a thing I wanted to do. It was to teach.
Rabbi Hertzka, right?
Sure. Paratera. Yeah, so we used to do a chalant in Rob Atesh's basement. So to make a very long story short, they started a summer camp for Bachrim, like a sort of a, what do you call that, Camp Extreme, but not for extreme boys. Basically, for Yeshiva Bachrim, they were doing nothing in the summer. This is like an idea that was like way before all these traveling camps started. Both Rabbi Vitesh, Rabbi Greenstein, and myself loved hiking, loved getting out there in the woods. And we figured a way to live vicariously through the work that we're doing is to open a camp. And do a Lishman, boom, you know what I'm saying? We have ourselves 3 weeks of wilderness experience. But what happened really was, I mean, we would get these Bachrim, they were fantastic guys, and they would, you know, they would come to the camp, and then during the year, they would call us if they would have a struggle. Every so often, there would be a boy that would, like, leave yeshiva. And we realized that there was a need for sort of this in-between sort of Ari Miklat concept, where if a boy, for whatever reason, leaves yeshiva, Hanukkah, what happens? Right? No yeshiva's taking him in, so he's stuck. And this was 21 years ago, and when there was very little access to anything. So what, you know, so the idea was, if he's out of yeshiva for 6 months, a year, he's going to get into trouble. So that was the idea then. So, you know, I sat down with a number of people, and we decided to open something like an innovative idea. We'll call it a kail, called the Kollel, Chavri HaKollel, at that point. The idea was sort of to create an environment, a safe place where a bachur can come when he's in between, he's not doing anything. You're accepted, come in, we'll set you up with Jungleit, with Chavrusas. The idea behind it was really to create this like Kollel environment. So I had three Kollelim, first Seder, second Seder, night Seder. So you'd be this, it'd be a real Makom Torah. And then a boy can come in. He can feel like he's still in the yeshiva system, so to speak. And until he finds his place, you know, he'll be there learning with learning.
So like
and
a short stopover.
Short stopover in between. So right. Then we were sort of like, yeah, a month or two, we'll get him back into yeshiva and everything will be fine. You know, as we got more and more involved, it was, no, sometimes these boys need a little more than just a month or two. There's other things going on, you know, and we start getting deeper into it, doing a deep dive into the kid's life. And like, one second, we need to step back here. So what happened was we...
But hang on, before you skipped over some very important things you mentioned. One is your passion for hiking.
Yes.
Did you like go hiking?
So this camp was, always. Oh yeah. So my Ben Azmanim, when I was in BMG, Eretz Yisrael, was to climb any mountain, to take on any river I could.
There are some people who are, I don't know what the word is, mindful, maybe present enough. They can go by themselves and camp by themselves without their cell phone. No. Have you ever tried that?
No. That's like serial killer stuff. I can't do that. Yeah, you say it's mindful. It could be it is, but I need people. You know, I have that.
So you go with the crowd.
I got to go with the crowd. We're getting out there in the woods, in the wilderness, and it's just super fun, healthy, and you know, it creates, and that was really the idea. If you get a kid that in the summer and you teach them teamwork, they're up in the mountains. We're doing white water, serious white water, level fives from West Virginia up to Maine, hiking 2-3 days, you know, carrying your stuff through the woods, canoeing and camping out. You literally can change a kid's from being a lazy sort of, it's all about me type of kid to, one second, I got to help my friend out. I got to make this work. We got a teamwork. It was an extremely eye-opening experience for us when we realized what you can do in 3 weeks to take a kid from sort of that like blah to like, he's a different kid in 3 weeks.
Interesting. I know programs, they do it because a bachur can feel great at what he accomplished. Built the house or a tent or cooked the meal, whatever you have to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you hike a peak. Nobody, everybody says, I can't do it. Right? Nothing I can't do. You know, so like we do now with a lot of the bachur, we started a running program, right? If I say, if you go to 99% of people, humans, and you say, hey, let's go for 2 miles, running's not, I can't run. It's not something I do. It's impossible. I tried it, right? But then when they do it, and all of a sudden 3 months later, they're running 5 miles. It's like the greatest experience because like it's something you can't do. Something you say it's out of the realm of possibility for me to do it. And all of a sudden you did it. So that's a tremendous accomplishment. And hiking and going up a 3,000-5,000 foot peak in the Adirondacks, and like I can't do that. You're crazy. And you make it up there, and the scenery is unbelievable. And you know you see the Bria, and you see Hashem's handiwork. It's like, oh my gosh, this really is something special. It's a switch that goes off, and we see it always.
I could see myself on like night number one in a tent with the crickets. I'm like, I just need air conditioner.
Right. And then in the summer, there's the shooting stars, and you get involved with all that stuff because we, you know, all of us, we're all into this stuff, and you start showing them. You're living in a, like Rabbi Miller says, you're living in a beautiful world. Just step back and, you know, Su'e Nechem Marim and Rumi Bara'ela. You know, it's Psukim that talk about this stuff. It's nothing new, you know?
It's interesting how you chanced upon this. Like usually I think different yeshivas or programs, they specifically do this to build bachur's self-esteem, and you like did it. And then in retrospect, you look back, wow, we just built their self-esteem.
Right. Yeah. It was great. It was a real eye. Because for us, it was normal. It was like, yes, yeah, what you do, you know, and you get that like, wow moment. We're like, okay, this works.
I had a friend who went to your camp, and this is what he said the wake up technique was. Is that Rob would come into the room, light a match, put it between your toes, and leave the room and not say a word.
Yes, I do remember that specifically. Yes. But it was all,
great.
It was fun. Everybody, it was like we tied some guys up, threw them into the pool, you know, that type of stuff. when you do it and it's like sort of everybody's having a good time and everybody knows you're in it for the same reason, it's fine.
Right.
You know, you're not vecking and you're not forcing them to come to Shach. It's all part of it. It's all part of the program.
So you leave your wife and kids at home?
No, they came up. They came
oh, really?
Up. Yeah.
So your wife's in there?
Yes. Yeah, they came up. We all had very young kids then. It was a lot easier. As they got older, it got a lot harder. So we'd have to go up and Shabbos and they would come up. That's really what was the undoing of it was. It just didn't work logistically. Yeah.
So when you started the Kollel, like how many bachurim did you plan on having and how many came? What was the success
rate? Hard for me to remember, but I think we started with 10 to 12 sort of, you know, boys that just were nowhere. You know, and it's 21 years later and it's stronger than ever. So that idea is still very current. And today it's a lot scarier for a bachur to be out of yeshiva, even 2 weeks. The ages are getting younger. That's really the discussion, you know, that we'll have now of what's, you know, what the needs are and what's out there and what's been going on. So
is it now like you're such a part of the community that Rebbeim send Bachram to you? Or is it still like once you're out of yeshiva, you know, then you find them on the street somewhere on Clifton Avenue or something?
That's a great question. There's a lot of pieces to that. So there's still, it's still, we have street cred, as they say. So people know, I mean, what happened was really, we stepped back a few years ago, and that's the other piece that we'll talk about, Nesivis, which is the crisis intervention for families. There was a bigger, you know, communal need. So me and Rabbi Greenspoon decided to sort of put our keichs into there, and we hired a younger staff that were really, you know, we did some research about who's the who's who in town now, who's the Pied Piper for Bachram. And we needed to find people that were just as crazy as us. That was really hard. And we happened to Baruch Hashem, and Hashem sent us the right people. And we have a really young, vibrant staff of Talmidei Chachamim and Young Light who are just there for Bachram that need. So Bachram come. They come because it's a place to be. At the same time, you know, we're not looking for Bachram. It's not that we're not, you know, we're not looking to, you know, take Bachram from a standard yeshiva system and say, come to us, we're cool. It can need something else. For whatever reason, they need to step away from the yeshiva system. So they come to us and they get real help.
Is there a fair process or everyone's accepted?
We have this joke when they come in, what they say, what's, you know, what do you expect of us? And the line we use is Tariag Mitzvahs. Okay, and then if you agree that there's such a thing called Tariag Mitzvahs and you're willing to accept that upon yourself, and then, okay, now we'll talk afterwards exactly what your needs are. But the yeshiva by us is really, it's a regular yeshiva environment. It's a little more colorful, and boys can come throughout the year. So we have that piece, and they can learn first Seder, learn night Seder. You know, and we have sort of all types, from white shirts to chassidim to, you know, colored shirts. But there's one goal. You're coming to learn as much as you can. And your day is going to be full also. There's no bachur that comes and says, I want to learn first Seder and sleep the rest of the day. You're learning first Seder, you're going to work second Seder, and then you're coming back night Seder to learn. Or you're working all day, you're coming back night Seder. The work piece is key. We place hundreds of boys and then through Nesivis girls, you know, at jobs. We're sort of the PCS for teenagers in town.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So is there a dormitory facility?
So in the last few years, we have a piece of property where Mitzvah we're going to build, and we have two houses on the property. Currently, we're on campus dorming. So yeah, there's about 25 Bachram dorming.
So are people coming from outside Lakewood?
So there's, you know, it's 15 years ago, I would have said, let's pass on that because you're bringing Bachram from outside Lakewood. Today, Lakewood's the melting pot. The Bachram are generally here from out of town by a sister, by a brother, or this is where they're at. And then they're coming to us. So it's, you know, Lakewood's the draw.
If I remember correctly from my years in high school, the Kollel was often synonymous with the Minyan. Is there any
correlation? So we started actually with Chaim Abadi. And we sort of, like a year into the work, we sat down and Chaim said, listen, Yishai, there's two needs here. There's need for a Minyan style place, which is more of, you know, for a bachur that's really, let's say,
less structured,
more involved, so to speak, struggling more with issues that are, you know, a lot more deep. And then there's a need for what you're doing, which is yeshiva bachur that's just sort of in between. It doesn't have a place to be. And like, you don't want to lose that kid. So they don't mix. So really, you know, so he went and, you know, we're sort of basically still open, both of us for 21 years doing that specific thing.
Right.
So yeah, the Minyan's fantastic. Yeah.
Did the Rosh Hashivas, Rebbeim, Magid Yeshurim in town, like, see what you're doing and, like, appreciate what you do? Was there opposition? Like, how did the community accept this new idea of a kollel?
I mean, there's that evolution of from anything in life. It's disbelief to, okay, but maybe not in my backyard, to, okay, let's maybe do something about it, to, okay, you guys are amazing.
You know, we need you.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, but the Rosh Hashivas were always involved. They always came to speak by us. I mean, the Rosh Hashivas understood. You know, it was more the town sort of accepting, you know, the initial line was, if, you know, the kids by the lake, throw them into the lake. That was, again, I would say it was, most people weren't that way, but we had to break that non-acceptance. But I'll be right. I mean, Lakewood's it's an amazing town. I mean, talking about the job placement, that I'm jumping a little. I've been to many cities in the United States, and they've all have issues with Bachram that need jobs. And nobody would hire a 17-year-old who's like never had a job in his life, probably won't end up holding that job. Good chance.
It's really a chesed.
It's amazing. And people employer. Like will just hire and hire and hire, and they'll get burnt. And listen, we do a lot of that in between, and we try to keep them at. But this is just, it's just an amazing town to, you know, for Bachram to have that, you know, option, if need be, to go out to work and to find a job and to have people that'll take them on and apprentice them. So it's really Al Pi Rav. It's unbelievable what I see here in town.
So you help them find jobs. Are you at the same time helping them find the yeshiva, or they're on their own? Like that's their.
So business? I mean, our place is really, it's a full time yeshiva, part time. You know, it's first right. Seder, there's night Seder. We have one-on-one Yungalite learning with Bachram, one-on-two, one-on-three, but really talented Yungalite learning with Bachram. We have Shirim, we have Shmuzin. So it's a really, really a structured yeshiva. They find these are boys, let's say, that maybe didn't have Atzlacha learning, decided maybe they don't want to learn anymore. And 2 months later, they're steiging, they're finishing Masechtas. And
so what's the secret? What's there that they didn't
have? The secret is that most yeshiva Bachram, Al Pi Rav, want to steig, and they want to find their place in learning. They want to find the place in within. They're not looking to leave, you know. And if you just give them the right environment where they feel that people understand them, trust them, are there for them, they've had negative experiences, and we're not getting into why, who, what, when, where. There's a million and one reasons, and it's not one reason, you know. That reason, you know, it's a Makas Medina. But for whatever reason, their negative experiences sort of translate into, okay, this is not for me. And then they come to our Beis Medrash and they say, okay, this is for me, because people are just accepting me where I am right now. And then we can be machayev them at that point, which is an amazing thing. Yes, and learn. Yeah, we're, you know, do what you need to do to become a real bentayer. And they buy in. I give them the mushel, right? And any sport you play. And let's say even in, you know, if you want to get into the major leagues or NFL or whatever it is, right? The coach halftime, the team's not performing. Right. I mean, some of those halftime speeches are, I mean, he rips into these, right? And they all accept it. Yeah. I'll motivate, right? Why? Because you want to win just as much as I want to win. It's not about you.
Same team, right?
Same team. We're in it together. And they buy totally, total buy-in.
Do you think that if you're able to give this course or their secret sauce to the mainstream yeshivas, maybe they'll learn your tricks of the trade and keep people mainstream?
The yeshivas are doing a fantastic job. You know, I see, and I have to really do a reality check. You know, sometimes just walk into any yeshiva, walk into BMG, walk into every bus. Every single Beis Medrash in town is teeming with people sitting and learning. We're doing a great job. There's always going to be a percentage. We haven't seen percentage-wise the numbers go crazy. It's just more people in Lakewood. So I'm the big proponent of the yeshiva system, and they're doing a fantastic job. Their Rebbeim are amazing. You know, other issues, yeah, sometimes there are issues and they can't be dealt with properly. And maybe they're not trained to deal with specific issues if there's a family issue, a crisis, some sort of trauma that went on in the kid's life that needs to be dealt with properly. So we have, you know, the right people trained to do this, you know, and make a big difference.
So in your book, what's a success? Like, where do they end up?
A functioning human being who's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, however, they may, you know.
So do they go to Israel after?
We've
they
had Bachram go from anywhere, you know, from Brisk down. We've had all that. That doesn't mean that's the, you know. But yeah, if a Bachar, any 17-year-old Bachar, in my opinion, if he can learn, should be in yeshiva. If for whatever reason, circumstances don't allow it, and it makes more sense for him, and that's the Ritzayin Hashem, is for him to do a part-time yeshiva system for whatever reason, then do it. Sometimes they need that. They need that in between. They need that, like I said, that Ari Mikla to get them to that point. But I'll be right, most of our Bachar go back to yeshiva.
Do you see a common thread between all the boys, something that, no, or is every person a different story, which I could imagine. We all look different.
Shame, partzif, and gachin, DSM. There's no one story. There really isn't. I mean, the one story is, you know, they need somebody to trust. They need somebody to sort of, okay, this will work for me.
So nothing to do with their family or?
Like I said, there's a million and one different problems. There are obviously family issues. We're not blind to issues that come up with certain families that are struggling for whatever reason. So that has to be dealt with. And if it's dealt with right, the parents can get the right help. And, you know, really that's the Nesivas piece of what we do. So, you know.
So how much do you get involved? You'll get involved in the parents and the family situation?
So we, if a bacha comes in to the yeshiva or to Nesivas, which we'll get to soon, the sugya becomes ours.
It becomes, I'm so excited. We keep saying we'll get to Nesivas.
This is the teaser, right?
Yeah, exactly. The teaser. Yeah. Guys, so, don't go away. Nesivas coming up.
So, yeah, it's a full service, a full suite of services that we'll provide. You know, it's an ecosystem of services, parents, family, whatever it may be. If the kid needs a job, if the kid needs clothing, so whatever they come in needing, I say kid, Bachram, whatever their needs are, those needs are met. It's a comprehensive approach.
Do you think this is needed, or do you do it in the girls' world as well?
Girls are a much bigger problem in terms of services, not in terms of schools. The girls' schools have a lot of programming, right? The boys' schools don't do plays and dancing, between during recess and then having all this extracurricular stuff. So boys have much less of that, but boys can just go, go to the park and play some ball or whatever, or just, light some fires. Girls don't have that, they don't have that. They don't have the ability to do those types of things, but the schools provide a lot more. At the same time, it's much easier for a younger man to say, I'm going to dedicate my night, my weekend, my this, to Bahram. Mothers are mothers. They need to be home, and they are home. So it's hard to find women who are dedicating their lives to a cause, because there's just less availability for women to do that.
So sounds like there might be a gaping hole, which is unfortunate.
There's a big need. There's a big need for programs for girls. Yeah. The town's progressed tremendously. Schools have opened that are addressing this need. There are night programs now that are happening. So there's a lot of movement in that area. Just less people working it.
Okay, so Nesivas, what happened? Nesivas. What happened at the Kolo that you still need for Nesivas, and what does Nesivas do?
Okay, hard stop. So we were working with, I want to bring it back a little bit. So my shutev Binyamin Greenspoon, we sat down, it was probably 3 or 4 years, I forget the number, into the work with the Kol. And we were like, one second, there's some problems that are coming in here that really need professional intervention, right? Like I said, if there's any trauma, whatever the trauma might be, we're not licensed to do this stuff. We're not trained to deal with this stuff. There's so many moving parts. You can't just slap a hat and jacket on a kid and say he's going to get healthy and then marry him off and, okay, he's good. Boom, we got him married. Thank you. And it's not going to help. We're going to end up with their kids. Problems really need to be dealt with in a deep way, in a way that's holistic. So we sat back and we're like, one of us has to get trained. And I was the studious one. And he, straight 90s on my Regents. And he barely passed the tests. And we decided, something, you'll do it. So amazing. Yeah, well, I was sort of raising the money, so I couldn't step away from that by default.
I didn't realize that it got licensed. So you just got licensed for this program. Yeah, piece. I thought you brought somebody in. That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's so needed. And really, I hate to say, every yeshiva should have a licensed professional involved somewhat, because there are things that really need that type of cook when it comes to, again, when you're dealing with issues that need to be dealt with in a professional way. So yeah, we brought him, he got trained, and Baruch Hashem, today he's progressed in his work to the point where we get a tremendous amount of interns that are going through school that are coming in to learn with the Bachram by us also. So it's not a therapy program. It's the young light learning with Bachram, but they just have that optic, they have that professional sort of angle. Mentors really are the first line of defense, and we find that not professionals. People say, "Oh, yeah, so just every kid's got to go to a therapist." Not true. It's that, especially the younger they are, the harder therapy doesn't really work. They're not interested. They're not engaged. Mentors, which is Jungle Light Learning with Bachram, that are trained properly, that can follow up with somebody professionally, is probably the best way you can go with a young teen who's struggling. If they have an issue that needs to be dealt with professionally, obviously they need to go to a professional. But the mentor piece is super, super important.
So you have the Kolel,
right?
And he's a social worker there working with the Bachram.
Right. And now once we have a social worker working with, well, it wasn't a social worker working with Bachram. He's the same,
Right.
We're both Wolfsburg guys sitting and learning in mismarriage with guys. That's what we love doing. And again, passion of it's Ma'arsha by Machzir Lamutav. There's no other, I'm not recreating the wheel. You sit and learn Torah with somebody and it makes a difference. It's going to change their life. But what happened was we started getting involved in other cases in town, people would call. Back then, there weren't that many therapists. And all of a sudden, there's like this tremendous need for younger boys, older boys, girls. There's so many other issues going on that need to be dealt with that nobody's touching. I hate to say the mental health piece, but everything's mental health. Me and you are both mental health cases. We have to be comfortable saying that.
Exactly.
But so
really just came to your doorstep.
The town needs intervention for families, sort of almost, I like to say, because people understand it better when I say this. Some people don't like when I say it, but sort of what the High Lifeline does for illness, we need the same idea for this sugya, which is, you know, crisis in families, meaning anything that the school system is not dealing with, that's past their pay grade or that they don't have the time and energy and effort to deal with. So we opened the Sivis, it's got to be 11 years now, to deal with the family piece. So we do comprehensive.
Who contacts you? What's
so really, like? Rabbi Greenstein was doing this work for the state, New Jersey, for Preferred Behavioral Health, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong. But we didn't recreate the wheel here. We didn't have to recreate the wheel, and we didn't come up with some great hamsa. This stuff is being done in the standard world at large, where families in crisis, they come in. What's going on? Let's get all the pieces together. Who's involved with the family? What's the presentations? Every piece from school to the family member to that whole triage of services that are involved, let's say with the kid and with the family, and sort of bringing it all together to make it one cohesive unit. You know, I have a son who's in Shy, right? And then he goes to center. His OT, his PT, his vision, everybody's working together for that one cause. The kid needs, this is his goal. And is everything, are all the pieces working together?
Is there a case manager who just...
So the idea in CBS is a family struggling with a kid. What's going on? First of all, a big yusayit is also in therapy. So you'll have a kid or a family member going to therapy. Now, you have a week or two or three sometimes between sessions, right? Everything can go downhill in a week. I mean, we're talking about crisis. So who's like sort of, you know,
on standby, managing,
on standby, yeah. Sort of, right. So you're not going to, you know, the therapist's not on 24/7. They you know, every so often, you know, they'll deal with the issue a little bit. They don't have time and energy for that. And it's not what they're paid to do. They're paid to create and they're tremendous people. The amount of people don't realize what they have to put up with in the tsar and the, therapists are, you know, they get a bad rap. Trust me, they're unbelievable people to be able to deal with other people's problems in a way that can literally change them, you know, and create lives, you know, that can move forward. But who's dealing with that whole piece in between? Who's taking that family that's in crisis and making sure that everything is working, that can take it from sort of a... let's say the acute phase from the ICU into a working program. So a family comes in, kid's struggling in school, out of school. What are the presentations? What's happening with the whole family? Who's involved already? Who's the Rav? And then you take that whole picture and say, okay, A, B, C, and D needs to be done. The kid needs a mentor in an easy case, or hopefully not a rehab or some other intense, you know, intervention. The family needs help, and a big piece of what we do in the CVS is family intervention, parent groups. We have currently hundreds of parents that are coming to, like, sort of an AA meeting for parents type of idea. I don't like calling it that, because, you know,
like, but support,
support, yeah, support, you know, groups. Talk to another parent, you know, talk to another that went through it, or being able to open up about it. And it's amazing, like I said, in Lakewood, again, that these are Choshev Bnei Torah, that for whatever reason or another, the kid's struggling, and they're able to sort of come together to help each other out and to get that guidance. So the family piece is super important. The job placement is important for boys, for girls. And then we have the whole girl division of lady therapists that are dealing with the girls that are in school, out of school, struggling.
Let me just take a minute here to talk about our sponsor, the Nasi Project. Are you going into Shidduchim or currently in Shidduchim? Well, the Nasi Project has a phenomenal book called Navigating Shidduchim, Effectively, Efficiently, and Gracefully. So this is meant for everybody who wants to go through Shidduchim with clarity. This is for you. This is also for parents who have children going into Shidduchim or currently in Shidduchim. That way you can say no or yes with clarity. So don't go through this alone. Don't go in having to learn from your mistakes. Go in with this little bit of education, which will go a long way. Besides for a book, they also have a class, a shiur, on their website, which was listened to and approved by Shmuel Kamenetsky and her Pesach Krohn. So definitely go and check that out, which will benefit you greatly or your child greatly. You can check it out on their website at nasishidduch.com, NASISHIDDUCH.com. Check that out. But now, back to the episode. Do you ever have to like throw the whole family into therapy? Like sometimes it's much more than just the child.
Yeah,
you have to get involved.
Yeah, there's extreme cases where kids need to go away and the parents need complete intervention. And, you know, we do all that case management is the key. Really, it's a very simple program. It's called case management, right? It's not just an Eitza. You come in, you're our sugya, right? And you become our sugya until we work. We try in Mitzvah Shem B'Siyata D'Shmaya to get all those pieces working properly, where the kid's in a good place, parents are in a much better place, family unit is coming together. But you know, some Al Pi Rav cases are 3 months, you know, where things start really, you know, moving in a direction that doesn't need our complete intervention and the right people are involved and everything's working. There are times where you can unfortunately have to hold on to families for a long, long time because of what's going on internally.
So who's on staff at Nesibus? Is it case managers?
Well, they're all therapists. They're all therapists. The case managers are therapists and they're trained professionals, right? And they're all trauma specialists. So, you know, because that's a lot of the stuff that comes in. And this is what they do. They do the case management piece and they're trained to do that go between. So we work with every, you know, the Rabbanim in town, Baruch Hashem, have been very receptive. The schools have been very receptive. And, you know, the unfortunately, the cases are coming in. Fortunately and unfortunately, the cases are coming in. Today, we just find people are looking for more help also. It's that type of dur we live in. It's much, you know, we grew up in a dur where our parents were stoic, you know.
Right.
Yeah, they dealt with trauma all, you know, from the Holocaust down to even before. It's just like, they knew how to deal with things. They suppressed it. I don't know if that was healthy or not. It's a different discussion.
It was different.
Bottom line is, today, everything's out there in the open. If everything's out there in the open, then it needs to be dealt with that way.
Yeah. Anytime I say, like, I don't get it. When I grew up, stop. We don't care what happened when you grew up. You know, mm-hmm. Now it's a different world.
Yeah.
They say, I forgot who it's from. Yesterday's discipline is today's abuse.
Yeah, who knows? Whatever. Bottom line is that today's people are far more in touch with their emotional side. It's Mitzias HaDvarim, and that needs to be dealt with.
Who's typically calling up? Is it the parents, the Rebbeim?
Across the board. Yeah. There's no one specific. Generally, it's the mothers, not the fathers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Al Pi Rav, or it's the schools.
You ever have like an adult in the picture, whoever it may be, with like pushback, like, am I talking to you? You know, we're dealing with this already.
Well, they don't come in then. I mean, there's no, if they're calling us, then they come in. You know?
No, you have a mother call and you speak to the Rav or the principal or the teacher. Like, there's so many different people in the picture. You could face opposition from some people. We got some under control.
So generally we don't, because when they call, I hate to say it's too late. And that's really another message I want to bring out. You need to deal with the problem properly. You don't want it to, I hate to use the word metastasize, but you don't want it to get out of control. If you can catch it earlier, and it's getting younger and younger, and you can, you know, instead of trying to find that like sort of guy who knows a guy who knows somebody who can fix the problem and nobody has to know about it, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You got to deal with it properly. The people that do this professionally and people that know what they're doing, it doesn't have to be us necessarily, but there are wonderful people in town that know what they're doing when it comes to dealing with kids and families that are struggling. If you think you can figure it out on your own, once your kid starts falling, it's not going to work. I hate to be so strong, you know.
How young are they coming?
So we were starting like eighth, ninth grade when we started in the Sivis, and Rabbi Eli Brudny is our dastar, and he said, you got to go younger. You know, it's just the school refusal is in sixth grade now. So, it's the age is getting younger. They're getting more brazen. And once you have one, you have two, they feed off each other. And it's much harder age to deal with it also. So, but again, the earlier you catch
they're immature. How can very you immature.
So mentors are big. Mentors are key.
Just like a big brother.
Yeah. A big brother, big sister.
Right.
And we did a mentor training with Nesivus, and we have trained mentors that really, and we do supervision on our mentors also. So it's a very misudidika program. It makes a lot of sense.
So is there like telltale signs you could tell, let's say, our listeners what they might see in their child, which you would urge them to call? Well, that's not how it works.
You can't be a fearful parent also. Kids are going to struggle. Kids are going to have up days, and, you know, better days and worse days. If your kid's refusing to go to school, right, or he starts showing signs, he has this sort of base level where he's at, and you know his base level, once it drops, he like shuts down. He starts showing signs of, you know, of some sort of incident, so to speak, where everything was normal and now it's not. That's the sign you should make a phone call.
Whatever happens that a family would call and you'd listen to the story and you'd be like, okay, I think you're okay. I think he needs a freeze pop and he'll be fine.
We'll never give an eights over the phone, that's first of all. I mean, unless it's like whatever. This doesn't sound like anything that we need to deal with. You know, call your local Orthodox rabbi and get a psak. But al pi rov, if they're calling this in their mind again, and it's how they're internalizing it, there's something really wrong. So they need to come in, discuss it. It might not be. I mean, we've Baruch Hashem a lot of our cases, and it's really important for people to know this. Also, most of our cases are sort of that struggle, that piece where okay, it's not working in this yeshiva necessarily, or this school for the girl, or maybe it is. We don't know what's going on, but she's falling, right? She's locking herself in a room. He's locking himself in a room. He's stopped coming to shul. Whatever that piece is, right? He's hanging. It looks like he's just walking into the park aimlessly or with a friend. Most parents know when things are going a little bit off. If you catch it at that point, most of the times with the right intervention, you know, the kid just needs whatever it is they're struggling with. They need to air it out. They need to feel like somebody's listening to them. And sometimes the family needs help. Sometimes it's a school issue, it's bullying, or this, you know, there's many different things that can go on, especially at that age with kids that can turn them off, and you got to catch it then.
So let's say a mother calls Nesivis, and you say, like, I guess, come down with the parents.
Come down for an assessment, and it's a 2-hour assessment. It's a real intense intervention. And we do some very, detailed questioning to really figure out what went on in the kid's life and what is going on. I mean, you could have an illness in a family that they're not talking about necessarily to anybody. Nobody knows about it. And the kid's just traumatized by that. You know, the whole family system goes from happy to, you know, but they're still not, and now the kid's of course not doing well in school.
That's unfortunate.
And the school doesn't know anything about it. And they're ready to throw the kid out. I'm like, 1 second, this, you know, it's only a set of circumstances that went on here. You need to step, and we'll tell that, you know, Baruch Hashem, the school is very receptive to that. We say, hey, you were dealing with this kid as if A, B, and C, but no, really, it's E, F, G. So we need a different mahalach. And the schools are wonderful. They're willing to work with a system that makes sense. You know, if it's just not precarious, they're not going to, you know, so it has to be something that works, you know?
Right. How, from when they call, like, how far out are you booking appointments? How long is the
Unfortunately, wait? It's you know, we need more therapists.
Right.
So it can be a 2-week wait now, you know, which is not good. But at the same time, you know, it's not the end of the world. And we tell that to parents. It's, you know, Namze Yavor. Again, if a kid's exhibiting behaviors that are dangerous, so we need to get help now. But other than that, it's just a struggle in school. You know, it can be worked out over a 2-week period. It's not the end of the world.
You seem like a visionary. You see issues. You come up with programs and solutions. Do you see anything else? Is there any other kind of program on your mind?
So it's funny you say that. I like to use the word visionary, but I don't want to pat myself on the back. We try to sort of have that 5-10 year, view. You know, try to not be myopic. Like sort of, okay, we had this problem, and now what? Try to look to the future and see what's going on. There's a number of programs that, in my opinion, need to happen. First of all, the younger kids. 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th graders. There's a tremendous amount of, I would say, you know, tens and tens of 9th graders now that are out of yeshiva, that if we would have an Ari Mikla for them, it could save their lives. We don't have that in town. We don't have a proper job placement center for teens, you know, like a PCS style. We're doing it. Other people are doing it. Other yeshivas in town that have half-day programs. But there's no formal sort of job placement training center for teens, apprenticeships, and there are businesses now that want to do this. They'll take in a kid or two or three, and if the kids follow through a system where they come into the Yeshiva, they get a proper assessment. Okay, this is your skill set. We have this business in town that really fits, and then they work with us again. If the kid, then the kid needs a chavrusa, you get him a chavrusa, or if he can do yeshiva part time, do yeshiva part time. You have to be realistic. There are kids that are not going to be in yeshiva full time, and we need to allow them to steig. A fee where they're holding. So there's a lot of yeshivas in town that are focused on that part-time, you know, we're not the only show in town on that, in that regard.
Right.
Yeah. So that is a big need for that. That's a big need for summer programming for girls more than boys. Boys, you get travel camps all over the place. You know, like I said, anybody like me that wants to get out and say, Laman Hashem, I need to go hiking for 3 weeks. Why not? You know,
right.
But for girls, we need more of that.
So you're not so good at putting on plays.
That, I don't do plays. My wife's family was very good. That is very good at that, but it's not my strength. No. I'd rather play center field, you know.
Right. Yeah. Baseball?
Well, back in the day until I started tearing hamstrings and I got too old. shut it down.
Got it.
They used to call me the vacuum in center field in South Fallsburg, you know. That was my name.
Was
a little plug for my athleticism, you know.
Right. Yeah. Was Kolel, Chavre Kolel, is that the first name you thought of? What other name?
Yeah, it was Chavre Kolel. I mean, it's a sort of a very non-threatening, you know, coming to yeshiva this, with the Rosh Yeshiva, with a frock, and sitting on Mizrach. You know, not that that's threatening, but for these kids it is, you know, because, again, in their head, the reality is, and as we sometimes fail to understand, their perceptions and interpretations of life and they're where they are right now, they're blaming it on somebody other. Most teenagers, young adults, are not going to look in the mirror and say, you know, it's my bad. This doesn't work. So they have 14 different people that they're going to blame for that. So they're looking. So the big bad wolf is the Rosh Hashiva, is the parent, is that figure that. So that's really what you need, in my opinion. When you break through that, then, you know, it's a win right there.
If any of our listeners or viewers want to help out, I'm going to guess what kind of help you might need. Let me know if I'm right or wrong. One is financially. I'm assuming that, right? You're going to need money.
Like every fine organization in town, yeah.
What about like Young Goliath, or maybe even women out there who have some spare time and want to help out?
Definitely reach out. Definitely reach out. We always need mentors. We always need Young Goliath to learn with Bachram. You know, it's been very hard. I see a lot of signs in, you know, Bate Midrashim on little pieces of paper, you know, willing to pay to be Young Goliath to come to Albis Meir Shalom with Bachram. There's a big need for Young Goliath to learn. I mean, Baruch Hashem, apparently financially they don't need it because the prices have gone up, and you know, Baruch Hashem, BMG is paying nicely now. So you don't need that extra money, you know.
So that's making it harder for you to find.
It made it harder for smaller programs, actually, you know, to be brutally honest, to support their programs, because your budget basically doubled. So if you have a guy running around for BMG, you know, all the power to him, Baruch Hashem, to give Young Goliath what they deserve. You know, at the end of the day, it does trickle down. So it becomes harder for the smaller programs to do it.
So you're definitely a shaker and mover. But on that note, you opened up a company called Mini Movers.
So
you see what I did there, right?
Yeah. So it's parlayed right into that. Well, it's not the first thing we did. Basically, I'm stuck. I have Baruch Hashem, need jobs, right? So, like, we had a few guys that were out of a job. It was last year, big, strong, hulky guys. It was 2 years ago. I don't remember. It's not my first rodeo. I had a place called The Attic. We also had a bucker that needed a job, and he had a pickup truck. And so when metal was really high, I'm like, why don't you go to every just take your pickup truck, fill it up with metal from every construction guy, go to Blewett down Squanqum, and you'll cash in, you know? And he started picking up metal, and he was like, this is like big money. And I called all my connections and builder. I'm like, did my guy get them out? This guy was pulling a couple $1,000s a week. That turned into sort of a demo slash cleanup business. It's called a 905 Junk right now. Ovid Batat, shout out to you. But what happened was, we would go to homes and then he would clean out a home, but there'd be good stuff in the house. So I have like this hobby. I love antiques and collectibles. And he would clean out this house and be stuff there. Like, you can't throw that out. Stuff has value. So we opened up this little thrift store for the yeshiva, you know, to support the yeshiva. That went on for a while. It's just
not around anymore.
Right? Thrift store not, but the junk removal business, he's killing it, Baruch Hashem. And then this Mini Movers also was about 2 years ago, and there were two, three boys that didn't have a job. I'm like, get yourself a pickup truck, and we're going to do small moves. We're going to open something called Mini Movers. Nope, everybody does big moves, but how about the guy that needs a couch or a treadmill or something that's, you know, no, the big moving company is just not going to spend their time. It's not worth it for them. So we opened Mini Movers and
it took off.
Baruch Hashem, I was able to sell off most of it to some young man who took it over, and he's like I say, he's worth killing it, but he's doing really well with it. We still have a small percentage of the yeshiva, but it was just the need to get guys jobs. So we
That's opened businesses.
Yeah, I'd rather just have companies in town hire boys. That's a lot better. A lot less of a headache for me than to open businesses and then, you know, have to sell them.
If you have other ideas, I'm saying, this is worth money. This is great.
Listen,
pizza shop.
Yeah, stay away from the food business. maybe a food truck. I'll figure it out.
That's great. Okay, I think we're gonna jump into our closing questions.
Truth is, I did want to add one thing. The Sivas now has just become. It's become a monster. It's going to be, Baruch Hashem, I'm saying, we're servicing a couple thousand families a year. So it's really also one of the ideas that just took off. For better or for worse, you know, we are, you know, servicing a couple thousand families a year in office. So, you know, not all of them come into the office. A lot of them come on the phone. We'll refer them somewhere else, you know, because it's not that specific piece of what we're doing, or it's just a quick, like you said before, it's a very quick question that needs, you know, who's this, who's the best for this or best for that or whatever it is, or what yeshiva is, you know. So it's a lot of it's not in office work, but close to about two, even closer to even 3,000. Last year was 3,000 families that came into Nesivas.
Where are you located?
Right now we're on Route 9 on top of Rita's.
Oh, you did a mini move. Route 9, got it.
Did a mini move. We're on top of Rita's bagel store. Pizza, not very good for a runner.
Yeah. So what does a day in your life look like? Or is it every day different, putting out fires, running around?
Yeah, if you're running, basically you're in the negative issue business if you're running any business. So it's sort of a lot of that that goes on. I have a handicap. I guess I mentioned before, I have a son who needs my T-pool. So I got to wake up real early, take care of him, bring him to Shai. So I drive. So basically my day starts at 6:30. I get to Davin as much as I could because, you know, he needs, you know, Hashem, I get a half an hour window in the morning. Take him to Shai. 9 o'clock, I usually grab a coffee at the French Press. Plug, Rob, you owe me a gift card. And then I go to Yeshiva. I'll learn the Bachram until, you know, 11, 12 o'clock, depends on the day.
Hands on, nice.
Yeah. The Beis Medrash is still my number one love. And if I could do that all day, it'd be great. And then about 12 o'clock, I go over to Nesivas and we run that piece till, you know, I have to get my son from center at 5 o'clock.
Right. Way back when, if I'm remembering correctly, I think it was the Kollel, you guys had Pimenta over.
Yes, yeah, so we do a lot of extracurricular. A lot of what we do is, we have a good time, you know.
Yeah.
Headed out to Steamboat, Colorado in a month. You know, we do a lot of skiing. Again, skiing also is a big, you know, a dangerous sport somewhat if you're crazy and stupid on the mountain. But also that breaking fear is so important. It can be a fear of dogs. It can be a fear of running. It could be going up a chairlift and now what, right? Do it like a mensch, train yourself properly, but the I can't to the I could moment, that transition, the more you do that in life, every little win is amazing. That's why running is so important, because every step, you're like, why am I doing this? You're on a bike, you're riding on a fancy bike, you know what I'm saying? Look, you look great also on the bike. You're running, it's like, let me just, you know, like every step is a mental win. It really is. So that's like now a message in general. If you do it right. Bowling, we take the boys bowling. So most guys just throw the ball down the, do it like bowl properly. Anything you do in life, and it sounds silly, but it's not. That message resonates and keeps on, you know, finding itself into your psyche. Eventually, you'll do everything right.
That's very interesting.
I think so. Yeah. I think it works.
Yeah.
Coffee. Drink good coffee.
That's it. If you're doing coffee, go to French Press. Do it right, Rob. Now you owe me a gift card. Woo! Are there any myths or misunderstandings or misconceptions about either the Kollel or Nesivos that you'd like to explain or debunk?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not for a kid that already hit a point where, okay, we got to basically send them out to Utah. It's regular yeshiva bachur. The yeshiva itself is a real makom Torah. I mean, the idea is to, I mean, I hire young light that are, you know, if they can talk to a guy about whatever, it's fine. But it's not like my lechatchila. I'd rather kids come into Beis Medrash and the Yungaman's waiting for them, and he's like, we're learning now. It's like in a with simcha. But it's all of it. So, you know, like, it's not about, so the yeshiva is a real makom Torah, and parents are scared. I'm going to send them there, and what's it going to look like, and the stigma. And first of all, if you do the Ritzayin Hashem, I have this, I'm going to go on here on a rant. But I tell people that the Kollel has a better track record than Amuka for Bachram from BMG getting married. Like, what's pshat? What do you mean? We get Bachram from BMG, older Bachram, they finally come to learn with a Bachram by us. Within 6 months, they're engaged. It's like terrible because I lost a great mentor. And what's pshat? I think it's a tougher pashat, because if you're in BMG, let's say, right, and you really, you're there for Shaduchim only because it just looks sort of bad if I leave. So you're playing God. You're saying, I need to do this, even though it's not the right thing, because I have to find a shidduch. So that means you're putting your own cheshbonus. If you say, I have to do the Ritzayin Hashem, I'm going to do what's best for me right now. Shidduch shall take care of me. I'm going to go learn with a bachar there, because that's going to be better for my ruchnius. Right? That's the Ritzayin Hashem. So it works like keret. People think they have this whole stigma piece where you're like, what's it going to look? But if you do what Hashem wants, it's only going to happen. I mean, that's what we believe, I think. I mean,
yes, absolutely.
You have to do what's right. And what's right means the Ritzayin Hashem. The Ritzayin Hashem is that your kid should get the right help. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to affect you whatsoever. It's a stick around. So that's a stigma really for the yeshiva. Right. It's a regular makom Torah. And the yeshiva is also 90% of the families that are coming in are regular families, regular b'nei Torah, and not the family's fault. It's not, they're not crazy people. They're struggling. The kid's not, it's not working out. Catch it when you can, as opposed to waiting till it's too late. It's a big, big yusayd.
If you were able to give your younger self a piece of advice, what would that look like? What would that be?
Man.
So you're looking to start a summer camp, and now you're saying, wow, if only I knew Take it away.
Yourself. I feel like I got to tap back into that energy. What's the number one lesson I learned, let's say, going through this that if I would have known earlier, would have made my life easier? I guess we'll say, before you start an organization, have 3 years of budget covered. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. But I think really delegation is really important. We're not taught that. Our systems of organizations and yeshivas are, it's all about the person on top has to micromanage, has to be involved at every piece and like being able to step away and let the right people, you're usually very good at one thing or maybe two. Generally, anybody, any CEO is, he has that one strength. Any other thing is that it's not your strength, find somebody else to do it. Delegate and don't worry about it. Let them do it. They'll get it wrong once or twice. You have to let things flow. And I think initially it was very too hands-on. So that stops you. It stops your growth because if you have to be involved in everything, not going to get it right.
Can't spread your wings, right?
Yeah, so initially it's a small program, but eventually the delegation piece, I think, was one of my most important pieces to learn.
You definitely did a lot of learning on the job, right? You had no training. You jumped into such bachram.
Yeah. So that would be a good lesson, I think.
Besides for skiing, is there any other talent or hobby that you have?
Skiing's not a talent, you know.
Are you the guy by Chasna that bounces the glass seltzer bottle on your head?
Guys. Oh, man. No? Maybe I could do that. I think my talent is getting from my house to Shy every morning in under 20 minutes. And I leave at like 8:25 and I live on Seminole Drive. So some people might say you're a Lakewood driver. I don't know. I think that's like my number one talent.
Yeah. When I say spread your wings. Traffic. Exactly. Okay. Now you definitely gave some messages to the community. Is there any other message you'd like to give over to the community?
Yeah, we're doing a great job, and when there's an issue, that means Lakewood at large. I think the community really needs to step back. We hear all this, like, you know, it's Armageddon. You know, it's like it's very scary out there, right? And it's no. First of all, I think we're doing a wonderful job in town. I think the yeshivas are amazing, but I think the one message is if you do notice, you know, what's that line?
If you see something, say something.
Yeah. Every community, the people in the community know what's happening in the community. Don't be afraid to approach somebody. You know, is there anything I can do to help? The worst comes to worst, I'll say, butt out of my business. Okay, but at least you tried. You know, there's a good chance I'll say, you know, my kid is struggling. Maybe say hello to him, maybe be nice to him. So yeah, don't be afraid to put yourself out there in a real way. You know, to if you see something, say something, you know, and you don't want people butting into other people's businesses. But in general, when somebody's struggling and a kid's struggling and a family's struggling, somebody goes over to them and says, you know, I see you, you know, you're doing an amazing job with the kids. There's something else I can do, just try to help. Try to just get out there and make a difference.
On that note, I have this thing when I'm in public, let's say I'm an MPGS or something, and I see a parent like scolding a child and the child's not listening. Often, if a stranger would say something, the child would listen, right? That's like new to them. So if I see a parent struggling, I'm like, why not help the parent? I'll give a very stern look at the kid. And then the kid like looks at me, doesn't know what hit him and stops.
Yeah. Generally, that kid's probably being scolded more than he's being loved in general. If he's not listening to his parent, I think, or if Desla has like a 10-to-1 ratio, I think he says. Yeah. I mean, if you want to give most of it to your kid, make sure you're giving him 10 hugs in between, you know, because then you
it's probably like an MPGS and the mother just wants to get home and the kid's throwing a tantrum. So let me help out.
It's very normal. don't parent out of fear. You know, that's also a key piece here. Don't be afraid of your kids, you know, and just love them to death. You know, and that doesn't mean you have to give them every piece of goshmis in the world. Every parent knows their kids. They know their situation. They know, it's not an easy answer, but just be there for them.
Yishai, thank you so much.
Appreciate you
coming here.
Thank you. It was fantastic. Thank you so much.
There you have it. Thank you, Yishai Guri, for joining us. We'll be back next week with more exciting guests. To find out about sponsorship opportunities, it's ourtown@lnnnews.com. For the latest news around Lakewood, lnnnews.com. Follow our status. You'll see all that in the show notes. And we'll catch you next week. For now, continue being uniquely you. I can't wait to hear your story someday.